Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's all part of a $75 million marketing campaign designed to convince video game fans that GameCube is better than the competition.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always,
it's Detective Ben here. Fantasy Detective JRPG Ben Vanel checking in.
Wow.
And who's that over there?
It's me, one of the ghosts of the dead people who the detective can talk to and still, like, I guess almost unethically. Is it unethical? My name's Adam Knox. Is it, if you're a detective...
That's unethical.
Yeah.
No one should name their children Adam Knox.
It's not good.
If your last name's Knox, don't call your kid Adam.
Do you know genuinely they nearly called me Nick? They were really...
No!
I'm not even kidding.
No!
Because they were thinking of it as Nicholas the whole time.
Okay.
And then I
Nicholas
think,
Knox is not that much better. That sounds like a detective.
It still sounds silly, but you've got to
it's
keep in
me,
mind...
Nicholas Knox.
This was all taking place
inspector.
In England.
Yeah,
so
sure. I know.
That's part of why calling someone like... Wibbly Bibbly doesn't register
now, Adam,
as weird.
Yeah. You're doing an episode of a different podcast with me after this, and I'm going to have to insist that you please retell that on there.
Yeah, right.
Because I know a certain little cunny who will love hearing that information.
My parents, weirdly, are both also from the UK, were going to call me or wanted to call me Oliver Vanel.
Too many V's.
Exactly. It's also a stupid, tongue twistery sort of.
Oliver
Vanel and Nicholas Knox.
It makes it sound like someone, whenever someone's saying your name, it would be like they're either cold or scared.
Yeah.
Oliver
yeah.
Vanel.
Do you guys know what you would have been called if you were born as ladies?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't.
I think it might have been Kate.
Kate Knox. Ooh,
that's
got, good.
The,
yeah.
the
that's
double K
hot.
Is
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Kate Knox. Good comedian name.
And my dad really likes Kate Bush and did since back before Stranger Things used Zoomer fucks.
Oh, yeah.
But
what, you're like middle-aged bordering on senior dad liked it before Stranger Things?
Not even bordering. He's tipped over. But
you better pick him up then.
Nah, he's old. He's out of form.
Do you guys want to guess what mine would have been?
Your girl name.
And my girl name.
Tommy.
Good guess.
Because you are a... No.
Good guess.
Tina?
No.
Does it start with a T?
Nah.
Oh. Well,
Jessica.
Then this could take so long.
I know.
Sophie.
You get one more guess each.
Okay.
And you won't get it.
Oh, okay. Tatiana.
That would have been good.
Fucking Greg.
No. Ariel.
Ooh.
Whoa. Alliteration.
Yeah.
Might have called you the little dermaid.
Yeah.
Because you're dumb.
I just feel like Ariel's a hard pivot. It's so funny when you hear like parents having like the backup name. Like my cousin Holly, she was almost going to be called Flavia.
Wow. Like,
holy
that's,
shit.
I mean, yeah, my cousin Cam, he was almost going to be called Enzo. It's like there is no... Like
it makes sense though that like if it was that way round to me makes sense where they at the last minute went we can't do
we got to get a grip on this
but if it was like well I was almost going to be named Holly but then at the last second they decided Flavia
that's true
that would be
weirder
like,
knowing that like they at the last second they went let's just throw goddamn caution to the wind.
Yeah, they got pissed on the way to the births, deaths, and marriages registry.
It's every time. It's like you're like. I don't know, if you go to a fast food place or something, you're like, I think I'm going to try the crazy new cake burger that they've got. Mm. You get up there and you're like, cheeseburger, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. But imagine me as a girl called Ariel. God, I'd be a juicy little piece.
Ariel Allsop. Would you?
I know you're objectifying yourself, but like, even so, it's making me.
Well, the name of this show is Filthy Casuals. The name of the game is video games.
That's true.
Video games. They were originally going to be called funny movers, movie shooters.
Yeah, tech digital fun times.
TV control. I can't think of a silly name for
Finger jigglers. Finger jigglers.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, there's a lot of video game. This might sound like this riff has been completely off topic, but there are a lot of video game names where it's like, it's what we're talking about. They've gone with Flavia when they should have gone with Holly. You know, a lot Echoes, Seasons of Forever, Ultimate Ring. Yep.
The
Blastoise version 3,
the one we got from the big thing we're going to talk about news. What there's just been a Nintendo Direct.
Yep. Yeah,
moments before recording this, we live streamed it and reacted to it. You can go watch that on our YouTube channel.
Yep, we took over the airwaves. The like, you know, emergency warning system.
Yeah,
there's been a Nintendo Direct. Everyone tune in, and we'll tell you how to react.
Max Headroom style. We like came on during some other thing.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you can see more stuff, but we're going to, we've had more thoughts in the in the minutes between. Yeah.
Well, we also, there was like a huge chunk of it where we were talking about Ben's parents both getting injured by a circular saw. So I don't feel like we really kept too on topic.
That's
the thing that we were talking over the top of.
But with the name thing, there's at least one game in this, and I like it when games do this, when clearly there's been an internal argument about what to call the game.
Oh, yes.
And so it's basically two titles, but one of them's after a colon.
Yeah. This is most, I reckon I'd love to someone. If someone can do a number crunch for us, who could be bothered doing this and is good with this kind of stuff, what percentage of games announced in, let's say, the last 6 years feature a colon in the title?
Oh.
The colon is getting a huge run in video games.
A lot like,
these
you know,
days.
The human anatomy. What comes after the colon is usually shit.
Almost all of them feature a colon too. It's one of my main features. I got a hyphen out the front and a colon out the back.
Echo of Ages, colon, colostomy bag.
Ghost Trick Phantom Detective.
Yes. That's
stupid.
Ghost Trick is like such a like unique, I think, and like stands out name. Mm-hmm. And then Phantom Detective is just a description of what it's about.
Yeah. It's still fine though if it was just, if the title was just either one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Both okay. No, not groundbreaking, but it's like you're getting the point across.
Yes.
Putting both of them together is like, well, now you're eating some other Ghost Detective's lunch by having both titles be there. Like if you called your thing Lord of the Rings Game of Thrones, then no one else can make a fantasy. Like anyway.
Yeah.
It's if you want to hear us talk about Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and other non-video game media, go sign up to the Patreon.
Oh yeah,
It's fantastic. We got access to our Discord, a secret Facebook group, a weekly bonus podcast where we talk about stuff that isn't video games. Maybe I'll bring up my circular saw story again.
The circular secret Facebook group we do let you know about when you join the Patreon.
Yeah, it's the only way. It's the only way you can find
it's
out.
It's not a secret that we keep from you after it. Like, okay, thank you. You'll never know.
Yeah, but now you're aware of it.
So check out that. Yeah, support the. You can support the pod if you enjoy getting it for free every week. But something else you can get for free if you have zero interest in giving us money. You can listen to the, I guess, companion podcast to this that we have out on the free feed. We're doing a Last of Us TV show recap podcast, which you might be wondering why we haven't been discussing the show on here. It's because it's got its whole other own show. We're watching the app. We're doing
same reason they don't sell perfume in the pants department. Two separate departments.
That's right.
And hey, we might have had to fit an extra hour and 40 minutes of discussion onto this show every week.
Absolutely.
We've been talking long. Clicker I Barely Know Her is what that's called.
You can
get it on, I believe, all the same apps. The service we use, they distribute it. So if it's not on the app you use, we can't help if you like. Anyway, patreon.com/filthycasualspod as well if you do want to support us. And it means the world to us and lets us do this.
Yeah.
And it's sick. And it gives you the opportunity to hear more Nintendo Direct discussion from us, because you probably haven't had enough of that over the last 7 years.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're winding fucking down.
Yeah.
They are.
At least in this form, in the Switch version of them, because this one did. We were talking about whether, like, this seemed like it would be the canary in the coal mine for how long the Switch has left before they have plans to bring in whatever new hardware is next. And yeah, this was, we were talking about it a bit before, like, very much it is not setting up enough future things to be released for the Switch to suggest that there's much longer before they announce hardware.
My expectation of the end of Tears of the Kingdom, and sorry if this ends up being accurate and I've spoiled the end of the game for you, it's going to be Link standing there on a beach and he's got the Switch hardware and he kind of puts it onto a raft and he sets the raft on fire and then just pushes it out into the ocean.
Viking funeral.
A Viking
style.
Funeral for the Switch hardware.
What a warrior!
At the end of Tears of the Kingdom, that's it. And
okay.
Then it's yeah.
It's funny that you use that as an ending. Because it's an ending to a game I know you haven't finished as well. But I could genuinely see, because you know how the Switch and the Wii U gamepad was kind of his machine in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
If he does get like a new pad.
Oh,
and it looks
God.
Sort of different at the end of Breath of the Wild.
That's tight.
Imagine
I mean,
that.
We talked about and something
but it's
that
a
was
console this time, and he can't take it with him.
Something that was, yeah, it's just one little house in a village that you can go and play it at.
Yeah.
When we talked about the announcement of that that weird Bayonetta kind of
Razer Lost Origins or
yep. Yeah, side thing that's coming out. There was apparently a little demo of that hidden in Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Like months before it got announced, you could stumble across it and play a little bit of it. I love more stuff like that. Like,
that'd
yeah, hide a little clue for what the Switch 2 is in.
Like in
Tears
every,
of the Kingdom.
You know, in like Pokemon games, when you start them in your bedroom, is like whatever the latest Nintendo
yes.
thing is.
Yes.
You go up and it's like, don't have time to play the Nintendo 64 right now.
Yeah.
I've got to go on a Pokemon adventure. Hide a little seat, like there's one little Moblin somewhere
yeah.
playing a next Switch. But
right.
I sorry.
And you got to stealth your way. If you want to get a good look at it.
If he knows you're coming,
just
he puts it away.
Yeah, you can't just blow
yeah.
the base up because his uncle works at Nintendo
yeah.
and he got given it before anyone else. So he's got to keep it on under wraps.
I like the idea that, yeah, it's the end. It's the end of Tears of the Kingdom. Zelda's standing there. Sorry, Link
Zelda,
is standing there.
Zelda, the main character,
there.
Is standing yeah. there, yeah.
holding, yeah, the little, what was it called? It's
I don't
got
know
a
what
name.
You're talking
the
about.
Switch. Yeah, we don't know what's in your head.
Oh, like the thing in the game?
Yeah, yeah.
The Sheikah Slate.
The Sheikah Slate. Holding it like a Switch, and then it's like, Zelda comes in over the loudspeaker slash voiceover and is like, Link, it's time that you were given a little bit more power.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
it sort of goes like little puff of smoke and it turns into like a slightly larger version of the exact same thing.
Oh,
and then
you
Link
know what
says, is this just an OLED screen, but it's the same exact Sheikah Slate?
Like, this one now has 8 gig of RAM.
Because if there's a joke in there about like, yeah, this new Sheikah Slate that he's got, and
yep.
it's like, oh, the screen's a bit better, and the kickstand comes all the way yeah. out. Oh, this one's got a LAN port on it.
I'm just sort of confused by this because Jeff Grubb, who lives in Kakariko Village, and Jason Schreck up there,
yes.
and they were pretty sure there was a new one, but okay, no, it looks nice.
Yeah,
nice,
you know,
colors.
You know what? I'd love the follow up to be. We've
yeah.
got the Sheikah Slate. Then Link gets the follow-up, the Sheikah Hydropod.
Oh, yes. The
yeah.
next piece of Nintendo hardware is an Android, like a full Android.
Yeah, one of those weird-looking robots that have the little spongy legs that they're kind of running around.
Yes.
This is like what people who've never played a video game think video games are going to be. They're like, yeah, one day video games will be a fucking weird robot.
Yeah.
Robot with a screen on it and you can like order stuff from the internet on it.
It'll be real Pong and you'll jump on the Pong ball and you'll fly around. But I do think that, yeah, because the Pikmin, so they did the Nintendo Direct, showed Pikmin 4
yep.
first, gave it a date, which was like the 20-somethingth of July.
Yeah.
Which is around the same time. I think you said when we were doing the stream, like, Nintendo won't be at E3, but they probably will do a Direct around that time.
Yeah.
And it's true that they won't be at E3, but I could imagine, same as with, like, the PS5 and the Xbox Series stuff,
mm-hmm.
I guess just the PS5, they'd already announced the Series X, I suppose, by that point. But either way, like, July announcement, possible holiday this year release.
Yeah. yeah.
Maybe. That's yeah. what I think now. I didn't think that going into this, but just the lack of, unless they're just having to grit their teeth and accept that they're going to have a quiet 12-month period possibly at
yeah.
some stage.
They do also pretty, even, you know, when the Switch was booming, they do still pretty regularly do this where they just kind of focus on a 6-month period, a window, and then there's always like you get to the end of that. And then a lot of the fervor around the next Direct, there's been big periods where it's like, we literally don't know anything that's coming out for the next
yeah.
year and beyond. So
yeah.
it turns into this thing of like, you need to hold this to just let people know what you have coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't, yeah, it isn't inconceivable that they've got some more stuff up the sleeve. But there was some report after they announced that they weren't going
to
be at E3, that IGN, I think there was someone there, they had some report that it's like, they got nothing on the slate post Zelda,
that's
which has now been
crazy.
Proved untrue with because Pikmin will be out after that.
Yep.
But I mean, that was surprising to me. I really expected with this to just see Zelda and that was it. So
okay.
I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I really thought with Pikmin 4, given that they announced it not all that long ago mm-hmm. and they had literally nothing to show of it, I kind of thought, oh, that's ages away. If they're announcing this and not even having like the tiniest little trailer or bit of gameplay, they must really be having to spend a lot of time in the oven. So to see it, so much of it, and it be out pretty soon,
yeah,
that really caught me off guard.
It's cool, and like I'm excited to actually get into a Pikmin game.
Mm.
I've always, I don't know why I haven't. They've always looked appealing.
Yeah,
I think just like the sort of strategy-ish nature of it sometimes makes me standoffish with the game. Like, I don't know what it is.
I think for me, it's unclear what the actual gameplay is.
Okay.
So that's probably why I haven't. But yeah, I did read, while we were watching the Direct, an interview with the Nintendo president who seemed to very heavily imply that the Switch is the hardware that will stick around for the foreseeable future, and that they are thinking about and aware of the fact that they will have to talk about, present, release information about games that are coming out for it. Like, they're aware, like, yeah, we've never had to support a system for this long.
Yeah.
It's because of COVID and supply chain issues. And the one thing we can do is keep making games. So
they also kind of have said that. They've always said that about stuff, though. Like, I remember when the Switch came along, they were like, don't worry, we're not going to be giving up on the 3DS. And they would trickle out like a Luigi's Mansion remake. But, you know, they really were like...
Game Boy Advance when the DS came out, same thing. Like, they always say, like, we're going to have three different pillars.
Right.
One of those pillars we're going to immediately knock over with the other pillar.
And but that's they harder to believe when they... Especially with the 3DS, it's like, yeah, but now this thing is also a handheld. Like, that made sense when it was like you had your two divisions.
Right.
But you've just gotten rid of that gap. So why would you keep... Like, don't keep supporting it.
Yeah,
like,
but they've said that stuff when there is a follow-up announced, right? Like,
yeah, that's true.
There's nothing on the horizon.
Because the tricky thing, too, is that, like, I believe that they, you know, their plan without COVID would have been, like, around now to be dropping something, and that's probably... Yeah, that's been impacted by the last 2 years.
Because it's easy to, like, the PS5 and the Series X and S were, like, effectively done by the time COVID started.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in production soon, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, they got impacted by it still, but in much less of a way than something if you'd have been planning for it to come out in 2022, for example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would have been,
yeah.
So I feel like it makes sense that they... I buy that they've had those plans kind of pushed back, but the problem with that is that, like... They wouldn't have been planning much software for the Switch in this year if they were going to bring out a new console. And it's not like you can all of a sudden just go snap your fingers and go, oh, okay, well, we'll put Mario Odyssey 2 into development for the Switch now. Like, that's kind of a harder thing to fill that gap. So it does make sense that you'll see more remasters, ports, game, like,
I mean,
these
we fucking
things,
see that stuff in the golden years.
Yeah.
When there's hay being shone on by the sun.
Yep.
And you make rain. Yeah, I could imagine a world where there's just 6 months to a year where Nintendo doesn't really put out much from like July through to March of next year or something.
Yeah.
Which sort of happens in any console, I guess, really. Like,
other than,
you're lucky if you get like a big swan song in like the final year of something. I think like
it's
Last of
noticeable.
Us 1 was pretty late in the PS3.
It was.
Yep.
But then like we're in that weird stage now where it seems less that way because so many of games that are like PS5 games and whatever were actually PS4 games.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like they were actually getting made for longer than they would have been in the past. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Either way, they've got some stuff coming out until July. Pikmin 4 was the first
one. Pikmin
4
looks sick, and as someone who played and loved the re-release of 3 that they did, it's a great formula. It's a really just charming, fun, relaxing game. Relaxing that gets stressful, but like, yeah, I really got hooked in on it and just blasted through it. And yeah, the little changes in this, having a little dog, the extra little Pikmin types that they've added, the extra bit of graphical capability that they're putting into this because it's a ground up from the Switch. I'm excited for this. I think this will be great.
It's funny. I feel like for whatever reason, often a Nintendo sequel you'll be able to say, like, I like the changes. Having a little dog is a great addition. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but especially with Nintendo things, it seems like they're like, the fourth one, dog time.
Yeah. Jump in. Well, it's funny, the second one, it was like they added a little, because you play as a little spaceman.
Yes.
And I think the second one they added one guy, and then the third one they added a third guy.
There was like a Luigi taller looking.
Oh, sure.
I think his name's Abe or something like that.
Cool. And then, third one. And this looks like.
And then this one, it's like, we can't just add a fourth guy.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. What if the fourth guy wasn't a guy at all?
Mm-hmm.
You know this.
What if it had four legs?
It's either a dog or a baby when you got three men, right?
Yeah.
Or a little lady.
Yep.
We had a whole bunch of sort of expansion DLC type of announcement things that we won't go through all of.
No, I'll see what I can remember.
Okay.
Mario Kart tracks.
Yep.
More Mario Kart tracks. A new one that hasn't been in the game before.
Mm-hmm. Yoshi's Island.
Yeah, it looks cool. Really colorful, fun-looking track.
New character too. That's cool.
Yeah, Birdo.
Birdo has been in Mario Kart games past.
Sure.
Yeah. Birdo was in the Wii one, I think.
And the GameCube one as well, I think.
Yeah. I wish they would chuck more. That's my one. It's cool to still have a game like that supported this far in, and getting new tracks is great. It's a great game. It would have been cool if they were chucking more new characters in.
Hell yeah.
Simultaneous to those tracks.
Fast Chuck Olimar in.
Yeah. What about a run? He runs instead of cart.
Hell yeah.
Still got four.
Little Pikmin.
Yeah.
Little Pikmin carry him.
Dog yes. Run.
Dog run.
I'm talking about dog, not Olimar. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Do we know the name of the dog?
Who gives a fucking shit?
Oh! Hell, Jesus Christ.
Cupie, block your ears.
This guy hates dogs.
I genuinely do love calling dogs just dog.
Yeah.
I think it's so much fun to
You're a real foot rot flats type of guy.
Yeah. I was going to call my dog Favola or whatever, but now just dog.
Brendan Favola, the full name, is the dog's name. That's good. I like that. What else can I remember? Fire Emblem. We got some Fire Emblem DLC.
Fire Emblem or expansion pass. You're right.
I think a lot of this stuff, it's already, like, you know, you've been able to buy the expansion pass for Fire Emblem already. Yep. You were able to buy the expansion pass for Xenoblade Chronicles 3 already. It was just a little more detail about, like, hey, in these waves, this new emblem is going to be in there.
Yep.
And this Hector. New character and new baddie is going to be in the Xenoblade one.
Oh, you know what else is coming on the DLC front or the expansion pass front? Splatoon 3!
You've got all of...
That had not been announced.
Most of them.
Right. Wave one is a new hub world.
Yeah.
Which is an old one.
I think all of these expansion, but like they didn't look bad, but it was all just like exactly what you would imagine that stuff. It's not like the exciting expansion type stuff is like
Zelda motorbike.
Exactly.
It's always like they have kind of a pretty set out way that they do these now where they'll have like three waves or so.
Yeah.
And the first,
COVID style.
Yes, the first one is often
700 waves for the rest of your life.
The first one is often like very cosmetic stuff,
right.
And a lot of it is just like you get that day one if you just like buy the expansion pass, and then the second one is like a new character again, just some more like challenge sort of stuff.
Sure.
And then it's like once you get into wave three, maybe like a year after the game's been out, you're getting a meaty, like a story, you know, new little 5-hour
It looked
chunk.
Like the Splatoon 3 wave 2. I mean, there was very little detail.
Yeah, it was maybe just someone standing in like a white burnt out coral reef looking type of city. But that is probably what that is.
Some I'd more single player
they did,
levels.
Yeah, they did new single player stuff for 2. So
right.
I would imagine that's... and people loved that single player in 3.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yep.
So that was wave 1 of this Switch Direct was expansion passes.
Yes.
Wave 2 was the remasters.
Oh, sure.
And updates and re-releases of things. There's always a ton of these.
Yep.
Or I'm going to include like new games in series that... Like Samba de Amigo Party Central.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is like a new game that is very much... iterative on what those games are. They're rhythm games, Samba de Amigo, they were Dreamcast
Please,
games.
Samba the Amigo.
Samba, my friend.
We are in English-speaking territory.
Yeah,
we don't
need
to...
You want, Samba the friend.
Samba the friend.
What does Samba mean? I guess it's
dance.
Just the name of the dance, right?
Dance the friend.
Okay.
Friendly dance, Party Central.
It's like the Persona ones are called, like, you know, Dancing Fun All-Stars whatever.
Up all night.
Yes. Yeah.
I do not like the name Party Central, but that's a new... Yeah, they're rhythm games. You shake the maracas in time.
Shaking your Joy-Con.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Shake. Senora.
I was hoping for a little, you know, they did the drum game, I don't know how to say, I forget what it's called.
Rhythm Tengoku or something?
Something like that. Yeah. I've got the little plastic drum that you could get for it. I was hoping for a little at the end of the trailer, and you'll be able to get, you know, a pack in with some maracas.
Oh,
that would have been cool.
That would be great.
You can just, like, tie a bag of sand to your Joy-Cons and it'll make the same noise.
I'd be too horny.
Yeah. I actually have been doing that for every other game I play on the Switch. Okay. So it's weird I didn't think about that.
Little work, yeah. And stuff like Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe, they showed like the sort of extra stuff that they're adding to that, which is a few more levels with a different character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Etrian Odyssey remakes, mm-hmm. HD remaster things, they're DS games where you dungeon crawl, stuff like that. Again, like we don't want to cover too much of the stuff, you can go and see on the YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it also is just like not massively exciting thing. Beta and Kratos 1 and 2 are GameCube. Right.
It was a Nintendo Direct. It'd be awesome if they went for 10 minutes and were all bangers, but they go for 40 and they you know, for better or worse, they feel like they got to give a little spotlight to, you know, a lot of third-party stuff.
Right.
Which I'm sure is helpful for the people that are making that
stuff.
But
yeah.
For most of us, it's like big snooze.
Yes.
Katamari.
Oh, yeah.
Another one of those.
Pumped about that.
Yes.
And then Wave 3 was detective games with a supernatural JRPG bent, seemingly.
Yes. Yeah.
We had Ghost Trick, Deca Police... and surely another one.
Yeah,
One other one that they mentioned weirdly.
Master Detective Archives.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
They mentioned at the start of it that it was like a detective thing, and then when I don't think we knew the name or we'd forgotten the name, we were watching it and it was like, I mean, this seems like the one where the detective element has really been pushed to the back.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that Ghost Trick and
Deca Police was the very JRPG looking one.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
Deca Police and Ghost Trick look cool in different ways.
Deca Police is one of my favorite Radiohead songs, and that's for all the Radioheads out there.
I'm a Radiohead.
Karma Police.
I'm aware. That's the reference.
It sounds similar. It's got the right number of syllables.
Yeah.
If you sing it, Deca Police.
Yeah.
You can't fault it.
Mm.
It's honestly one of the greatest achievements.
God. No wonder Tom York's so grumpy.
Ghost Trick is meant to be good too, apparently.
Okay.
That's a DS game.
Right.
And they're putting it back out. But
that looks like the most detective-y of all the... Because, I think Deca Police, it's more just like...
Now that you say it again and again, doesn't it sound like Karma Police?
Yeah,
am singing Deca Police.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The greatest joke, it sounds like it.
But isn't
the same name. I'm going to... Please keep going.
Okay. It looks like the detective stuff is just a... It's just like a kind of a setting for the game.
Yeah.
No, like Ghost Trick actually looks like, in terms of the gameplay, you're doing detecting kind of work, whereas like...
You'd think you'd be tricking ghosts.
Deca Police looks like you're doing JRPG combat kind of stuff.
Yeah, Xenoblade-y stuff.
Yeah.
The ghost trick is the thing you're trying to figure out, I guess.
Mm.
The ghosts have tricked someone into being dead.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Spoilers for The Sixth Sense. That's basically a summary of the plot. Ghost Trick.
I think that's... yeah, meant to be good.
Okay.
I never
all things meant to be good?
Fuck off. If that's how you felt when I said Deca Police, then I get it. Octopath Traveler 2 is coming out soon. Bunch of stuff like that. And then the Nintendo-y stuff, which is usually, you know, as makes sense for the Switch, the most interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is interesting.
Mm.
Like we talked about Pikmin 4. They gave a date to Advance Wars 1 and 2,
is
now April 21st, which is a full year delay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you could have seen this coming a mile off. It's like they delay it indefinitely because of the Ukraine conflict. And it's like, this isn't going to wrap up in a week. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like... It's already a game that is out there. It's a re-release to begin with. It just seemed like kind of weirdly just positioned sensitivity. Like, I don't know.
It and then it's going to be like, yeah, you're just going to pick an arbitrary date to release it on anyway. Yeah. So.
And while the same thing is still going and exactly. like, it seemed like, yeah, a weirdly tone deaf way to try not to be tone deaf.
Yeah.
I really wished in the trailer that they had have addressed it and been like, well, I guess that Ukraine conflict's not wrapping up anytime soon, so it's time to get in your tank. Like, they just had have, like, bedded that into the...
It's so weird that that was
it's
the
so
reason.
Strange.
That they, yeah, it's bizarre.
It's also weird that there's... It's one of my favorite stories in gaming of the last couple of years. That person who had pre-ordered it before it got delayed indefinitely, and then for some weird reason, just for one person on Earth, it unlocked on the actual release date.
It was unclear whether they were telling the truth.
Okay.
As well.
Okay.
Like, I remember seeing some fucking phantom detectives out there giving a bit of the old ghost trick treatment to their posts, and I don't remember if it how that ended up, but
they never posted footage or anything.
No,
did they?
And it was like a few screenshots. And
okay.
So I don't know how real that was.
But I guess also Nintendo is so litigious, like maybe they were too scared to.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
also, if you got a fucking email being like, hey,
right.
you think that war was bad? We're going to start a new fucking one on you.
Yeah.
And, like, anyway, that's coming out.
That's
April.
Coming out.
But we also should say, this, the very Nintendo-y stuff, and let's tie this into the back of the raft of detective games.
Yeah.
Just when you're getting fatigued on the detective genre in this direct and you're thinking, well, surely we've seen all of the detective games we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo, they drop a little reveal of a new Professor Layton game.
Yeah.
And they sort of cuck themselves by just burying it after all the other detective games have been
That's
announced.
True. I didn't even think of that as a detective game necessarily because he's more of a puzzle man and he solves the crimes incidentally.
By doing a Sudoku.
Yeah, if you murdered someone like nowhere near three jugs of water that needed a certain amount of water in them, then he would have nothing to do with it. He'd never solve that crime.
Yeah,
So I'm planning to murder you in this room right now and I'm just quickly looking around like, oh, there's no like symbols on the wall,
are
there?
Make sure the dartboard doesn't add up to whatever, like...
the number of stab wounds.
They didn't really show any of that. It was just like Professor Layton turning around and being like, I'm still got the top hat.
That's
no
right.
No date, no vague, like later this year or anything like that. But they're working on a new Professor Layton. And, you know, it is that classic thing when you have like, you feel like a bit of overkill of a genre. And then it's like, well, here's just a top tier banger of a detective game.
Yeah.
But so with the Nintendo stuff, so the weird thing, Advance Wars 1 and 2 coming out April 21st. And then also, as of right now, I think, you can play Game Boy Game Boy Advance games
on the
Switch Online thing.
Mm.
So, and like there's a fair number of games coming out for them, but Advance Wars 1 and 2 were both Game Boy Advance games.
Mm. Yeah.
You could fucking have chucked them on there and saved us all a whole lot of fucking effort.
That actually would have been awesome if they had have been like, now look, a lot of people are wondering when this remake of Advance Wars 1 and 2 is coming out. Obviously, the Ukraine conflict is continuing to go on. It's gone on longer than, you know, we thought when we delayed the game. So we really think the only sensitive thing to do is to cancel the re-release. And then 10 minutes later, they're like, Game Boy Advance game's coming out featuring Advance Wars. Yeah.
Or just go like, hey, we're putting Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games up. We forgot we'd already made Link's Awakening. So that's up there on the Game Boy now. And we've taken down that remake we did because why would we bother remaking a game that already came out? Same with Advance Wars. So sorry, we forgot.
Yep.
We'd done them fucking ages ago.
Yep.
But so yeah, there's a bunch of good Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games going up on there. That are up there right now and then more coming later in the year and stuff like that as always. And then another remaster of Metroid Prime, which is also out today.
Yes.
The physical edition coming out later.
That was, I think, the thing that tipped me over into thinking, like, this is actually, way better of a direct than I was thinking. This and the Game Boy stuff have been rumored for such a long time.
Because they're such easy, obvious slam dunks, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a part of that rumor being...
There was also the rumor that it would be Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3,
which they'd already done in the past on the fucking Wii, you know. Yes. So it's not weird to think that it'd be all of them. And like this is an updated and the visuals look better type of remaster, and it does look more different than my impression of it was because they've obviously kept the same sort of art style and everything, but it does look better. But it's one of those things where the rumor spreads so much and is so talked about, because the more interesting question isn't like, will they do it? It's like, why the fuck wouldn't they do it?
Why haven't they done it?
Because they do it with so much fucking stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And well, I mean, the fact that, yeah, it's like it relatively easy to do, easy slam dunk, rumoured with every director that's happened in the last 2 years that this was finally going to be the one where they drop it, and they hadn't. I had, as of the start of this year, gone, they're just not happening. If they were going to happen, they would have happened by now. So finally seeing them happen is good, and also the fact that, yeah, with the Metroid Prime specifically, that it's just... Because I thought, oh, okay, yeah, here we go. They announce it, it's a remaster, it's finally happening. Oh, and it's not out until September. Like, I wish they did this more. Just like, yeah, it's a re-release, and guess what? You can just hop on after this and just play it.
Yeah.
Sick. Great.
And it is good, and like, I don't mean to sound... Like, if you've never played... Like Metroid Prime in particular, it's a fucking awesome game, and like all the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance ones are good as well. The fact that they don't interest me because I've played them isn't really an important part of whether or not it's good that they're there for other people. But I do feel like I'm the one in a marriage who like, I'll leave they'll do the dishes. Surely, surely. If I just leave it, the dishes are there. It's obvious they need to be done. Surely I'll do it. A week goes by. What the fuck? You know what? They'll do it. I'm sure they'll do the dishes. And then they do the dishes and I'm like, fucking finally,
yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit too real for me, but...
Why didn't you do the dishes yourself?
But the dishes were obvious and easy.
Yeah, no, you've...
40
yeah.
bucks US.
60 Australian, yeah.
Yeah. So,
for Metroid Prime. Yeah. It's kind of pricey for that sort of thing, but whatever.
Yes,
that's money.
Everything's pricey.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm pumped. I yeah.
If it was like 30 though, like then I would be like, oh, sick.
Yeah.
So
or free.
Oh, dude, if they paid me to play it,
yeah, that'd be cool.
That's the dream.
They kind of are in a very roundabout way.
Well, they're
not. They're someone
not.
Is.
Yeah.
If they did, then I would fold immediately.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. It's a 10 out of 10 game.
Love it.
Here's a list of flaws with it. 9 out of 10. yeah, no, I'm pumped to play this. I played I think I played the third. I never got around to. Yeah, I didn't have a GameCube until quite after the fact. Mm-hmm. I was also not really into Metroid at the time, even like the 2D ones.
Sure.
I've come to them pretty late in the piece. And yeah, I mean, they're like, I don't know. I think it's a nice direct. I think when you can hop like finish watching the stream, and then there were a bunch of things to download straight away. There was the Game Boy stuff. There's Metroid. There's a demo of Kirby. And there's a demo of Octopath. I was like, that's cool. That's
yeah.
a bunch of hours of stuff. And, you know, three of those are, free/included in a subscription thing I already have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Cool that anytime something has just been incessantly, like, rumored and talked about and speculated for so long, at the end of the day, it's just nice when it's finally... It's just all the chatter can stop, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, for better or worse, it's like now that we don't need to read a rumor about this every
totally.
3 months. It's
we
just
can
out
move
there.
On.
We can move
eat
on.
Eat from the plates again and yeah. just sit down and watch maths.
Well, but you know what it is like
which
the...
stands for Metroid and Fire Emblem, but it's misspelled.
Yeah, Fire Symblem.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, it's like to go back to the dishes analogy, then the dishes get dirty again.
Oh.
And you're sitting there going, it's been a week. When the fuck are they going to port Metroid Prime 2?
It is fun. Like,
yeah.
I was sort of looking at reactions of people and, you know, a lot of people like, oh, great, wonderful direct, which I'm sort of surprised. But people being negative about it, seeing people respond to them being like, nothing's ever good enough for you, is it? When will
right.
it ever be good enough? Like, yeah, exactly.
Well, Adam,
nothing's ever good enough. Everything can always be better. And the only way to achieve that is through intense criticism.
Well, you know, I was talking about this out the front when you got here, Adam, that like, it's so funny being a fan of video games and like just the disconnect between forgetting that these people are running a business. So they've got to think about their projections and the fiscal year and all this kind of stuff. When if you're a fan, you're like, why don't you just put everything good out right now, straight away,
yeah.
for me to consume at my leisure whenever the fuck I want it,
yeah.
which is right now. And it's like, because if we put everything out at once, it's all going to eat into the profits of each other,
yes.
and we won't make as much money to keep our business afloat.
Yeah, yeah, to pay wages for the people making the next games. Yeah.
Why don't you make a new F-Zero? Because nobody wants it.
Yeah.
You do. but right. you're weird.
Yeah. It is because it's like there's really no other like media stuff that I think really functions in that way. It's yeah. like even like a movie franchise that people love, you just accept. It's like, hey, I love that one. It'll be 2 or 3 years mm-hmm. until the next one. I'm happy. You like no one's walking out of Dune going like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
They should bring out Dune 2 tomorrow.
James Cameron, I know you've already made the next one. Just release it. Just release it.
Metroid Prime is so fucking good, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to play it. I'm excited.
Pumped. I'm interested.
I don't know if I'm going to play this remaster because like I played that original four times or something, but it's up there in like the Ocarina of Times and whatever of like Nintendo's best fucking shit. Mm. I'm interested to see how it holds up to someone playing it for the first time 20 years after the fact.
Yeah, yeah, well, nice.
I mean, the fact that there was no Metroid Prime 4 in here, I mm-hmm. have had this thought for a while that it's like it's just getting shuffled onto the next hardware. But this now being released on the Switch, you would think a big part of that is to just kind of, because it's been such a long time since they made a Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
You would think the main motivation for doing that, other than just making some cash, is to just get people back into, you know, they had Dread last year, they're getting people back into the world.
Yeah. To remaster it rather than to release the GameCube version in some form, or those three, like that is more effort that I think suggests the same thing. And maybe that's the thing we see for the back half of this year in July or something. The other thing that they showed was Tears of the Kingdom, an actual sort of the most footage we've gotten of that, like proper. I know they've shown like some sort of in-engine-y stuff, but it didn't really look like a full kind of gameplay trailer in the way that this did.
Yeah, yeah. A mysterious new bad guy, we think.
The moon? Well, the moon's at least shooting at the ground.
I do think it's the moon.
Yeah.
The moon existed just as a thing in the last one.
Yeah,
blood
moon, yeah.
Every now and then it was just an excuse to make sure that you don't end up with an empty world, because you could have theoretically killed every single enemy that's in there. So just brought everyone back to life, and there was like a little timed period where everything was a bit more dangerous. But having that be more of just like an actual story, gameplay focus, other than just a little.
Yeah, because I can't remember. I feel like that was happening because of like Ganon's power or whatever. So, but maybe it was a separate thing in that, and if it.
Or maybe Ganon, like, died and went to the moon.
He could be back. Yeah. It'd be crazy for Zelda to bring him back as a series, but maybe Ganon's back at it again.
This was kind of, honestly, this feels weird to say, this was sort of the least interesting part of the direct for me. I was blown away by the Metroid surprise drop and
the Pikmin 4
looking great. That this felt like what the very first look trailer should have been in terms of seeing stuff of the game. This kind of felt like this kind of gave me a bit less than, you know, that first one where he's like jumping off and it's like, oh wow, there's all this stuff in the sky. That's
what
really
about
cool.
The cars and shit?
Cars and shit's cool. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, and it was, I think that's something.
I think it was like a well-made trailer, but also like having seen that sneak peek, it's like, well, I can mentally put this trailer together.
Right.
You especially know,
and already. The cars and stuff is like, yeah, that's traversal. That's not like, you know. Who knows?
I would imagine it's got to be more crucial than that, because from that last trailer and this one, I think maybe part of the reason it seems is because it's very clearly super similar in a lot of ways to Breath of the Wild.
Well, this is the thing. I feel like I'm at the point, I think you got to this point with God of War Ragnarok, where I'm like, I don't really need to see any more of this. I'm going to play it. I'm going to love the fuck out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not...
Unless it was like a gigantic full
deep dive. It's like, yeah, man, I'm in. I don't need to see these little glimpses where it's like, it does still feel to me like they're just having a hard time putting together
a little package
trailers that, and like working out what to show and what to keep up the sleeve. Like,
well, because
if
what they're doing with this game, if the big differences are pretty difficult to rapidly describe things like what appears to be a new one of your like belt powers, you know, that little, with like your magnet and your freeze or whatever, it seems like you've got a green one now that maybe sticks these kind of cubes that the car and a flying platform he's on are made out of together. So like a little construction-y, fucking Fortnite-y, Minecraft-y thing maybe.
Well, yeah, and like where you have to like hunt down and find them as well. It shows him like finding one at the bottom of a lake.
Yeah, and that could be cool. If you're building like a base that flies and drives as you go through this game and adding these attachments to it, and then, like, he's sliding on a rail at one point. And so it's all just, like, sort of extra bits that you would add on to Breath of the Wild. Yeah, it's hard to display them without doing one of their deep dive things, which they do where they spend 40 minutes going, here's exactly how this will work.
The inventory screen works. Yeah, it's,
They don't want to do that for Zelda because part of the thing is, you know, exploration and discovery.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they?
It's not
they,
like a Smash Brothers.
They didn't do that for Breath of the Wild, did they?
They did. So like, okay. I'd forgotten about like when it was a Wii U game.
Yeah.
Exclusively, there was that one really long video of like Miyamoto and Anuma both sitting down with the gamepad, like showing you exactly how it played and how you move the gamepad to look. Do you remember this?
He was
like
standing in a forest. Very vaguely, yeah.
And it was like 2015 or something when the game was meant to come out in 16 before it had gotten delayed. And so it's like, weirdly, there were like two cycles of them sort of treating that game as two different entities almost. When
it looked pretty different at one point too, I remember. The kind of almost cel-shaded-y sort of...
It looked more like Skyward Sword,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they did a lot more description of Breath of the Wild. And then they went to the effort of like getting people to play and showing and like really describe it. It's open world. And like this one is a lot more similar to Breath of the Wild. So just getting those little hints of like there's more enemies... They showed some flying guys and I think some others.
Mm-hmm.
There's...
Mr. Blockhead, remember?
There was Big Block Boy.
Yep.
A new kind of core mechanic thing and you're also up in the air a bit and they've changed the landscape in seemingly kind of subtle ways.
Well,
parts,
the big, you know, the big thing of the first one was that feeling of discovery, which they... don't have this time around. If they're using the same map, they just don't have it in the same way. So they do have to get creative about how they're, what stuff they're adding. It can't just be like, oh, this area, remember this from the first game? Well, now it's got a rail going through it. I'm sure there will be bits and pieces of that stuff, but it's...
If that's done well, it could be cool though.
Yeah.
Like flipping what you thought of a place.
I mean, I trust them. Like whatever they're doing, I'm sure it'll be good. But it is like a... I think they really have a... No wonder it's been delayed because they've... I think it must be really challenging to think about how you... How you do this all again.
And it was nice to see some footage of it looking like it was running okay.
Yeah.
As well. That's reassuring. And that was basically the direct.
Yeah.
You can see all of it, again, on YouTube and I guess on a Twitch channel too.
Yep.
We'll have like the VOD.
Yeah, yeah.
As the kids call them.
I think it's already there.
So
36 views. 36 views of the VOD before
the
podcast started.
Nice. Everyone who listens to us has watched it twice.
Well, guys, I feel like, there's probably a lot of people out there thinking like, thank God the Game Boy games are finally on the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken a while. And I just want to say to everyone who's rapt to have them on there, you're welcome, because I feel like I did will this into existence by spending some money on a Game Boy Micro and a flash cart a couple of weeks ago. Because like I said, I'd given up on them ever appearing on the Nintendo Switch and I thought, it's a great library, want to be able to play it. Just going to get some original hardware and play some Game Boy Advance games in the only way that I'll ever be able to play them going forward.
Even if they did put some on the Switch, there's no way they'd put the obscure ones like Kuru 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 in on there. So it's the only way I'm going to be able to play something like that.
Yeah.
Which I've been playing a fuckload of and it's a great ass game.
Oh.
It's fun as hell.
It's a really good little puzzle. I think you'll like it, Ben. It's good stuff.
You've got like a constantly rotating paddle that you're controlling and you're trying to like work your way through 2D levels. So like...
Oh, sure.
It's always spinning. And so when it's at a certain angle, you can get through this
part.
Yeah, they're tight. Yeah, and there's little springs you can hit that'll make it go around the other way. And
yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's cool. It's so simple, but it's... And just the conceit of it, like, you're a little penguin that has to go out. Like the little spinning paddle is like it's the top of a helicopter that you're in. So in between the levels, you're this little penguin guy who's running and he's hopping into his little... helicopter that then you're just seeing from above.
It's cool.
It's really cool.
You can play it right now.
You sure can.
Yeah.
I love that you bought a Game Boy and a flash card for it. It's like real proper Infinity Machine
shit. I know.
Yeah. I'm proud of you.
I tell you what,
though.
Sink deeper
into this fucking dark hole that you've taken a step into.
I was pretty close on hitting the pre-order button on one of those pocket analogs just because I wanted
hell yeah.
That big crisp screen. But now that's the Switch.
FPGA, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
so
no,
you're just
keeping your subscription to Nintendo Online.
I'm glad that's because I mean there's something cool about playing stuff on the original hardware. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir over here.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, that screen, it's, you know, it's cool and it was great for the time, but there is a part of you that's like, I just have been thinking this week, like, God, just having this, you know, the games look so vibrant and that screen is good for the time that it was made. But
the
it's
Game
like
Boy Micros.
The game, well, yeah, the game, and the Game Boy Advance ones as well that have backlights in them. Mm-hmm. They're really not, you know, they're not giving you the, even just like looking up a game on, you know, Wikipedia and seeing a screenshot of it on there, it's like, God damn, that is just so much richer and just popping on this like proper screen.
It's there's two parts of it because like there is also a really, for me, it's the same as with like CRT TVs and stuff. There are some things about those that are like better as displays for those things, but in most ways they are kind of worse.
Right.
But
compared to like, yeah, like an LED or an OLED screen.
If you have like, yeah, and it's hard to get some games running on an OLED because of the way you have to go through and buy a fucking box to connect it. But like,
yeah,
there's stuff with like the refresh rate and whatever and resolution stuff. And but the main thing that you're looking for by getting a Game Boy Micro or what or looking at something on a CRT, it's the vibe.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the feeling. It's pretending that you're 14 again.
Right.
I got it pre-used. So it's got like a, you know, it's just someone's personal one that they had. It's got a couple little nicks on the buttons. There's a little bit of
that was going
like,
to be my name.
There's this little, you know, the back of the one corner of the screen's like a little bit faded and it's
right.
like, yeah, cool. This was... Someone had a good, you know, this had a life. This
yeah.
had a, it's like Andy giving all his toys away to right. the next door neighbor. It's like, yeah, it's got some guy's name written on it in texter on the back.
But then like, the little girl was like, this screen looks like shit compared to the new FPGA options that you can get. Nice.
Yeah, I've been playing Wario Land 4. Great ass game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all those Mario advances, the like Mario versus Donkey Kong. Drill Dozer. Did you ever play Drill Dozer back
I remember
in the day?
Drill Dozer, but I never played it.
Great platformer. I would hope it comes out on... Well, yeah, I think they'd have the rights to it on the Game Boy Advance Online thing.
Was it a Konami
Game Freak
game?
It's Game Freak.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
okay, right.
It's a Game Freak game that doesn't suck. It's that's made well and
they do
works
it one
properly.
In every, like, 10 games. They pull it off.
It's a platformer. You get a little drill and... you're holding down the R trigger to like drill into walls and do puzzles and stuff using that. And there'll be, it's kind of like each level is like a mini Metroidvania where bits of certain walls you can't get through with the drill that you've got. So you unlock, you find gears in the level that power up the drill. And this is resetting at the end of every level. There's some conceit where, you know, you get your little drill gets hit and it's all the gears scatter again. And it's cool. It's got a little rumble built into it,
which
for the time would have been crazy tech in a little handheld. And just the feeling of like, you're holding down the...
Like the rumble was in the cartridges.
Yeah, yep.
Like
oh, really?
Pokemon Pinball and shit would have bigger cartridges to fit a little rumble motor in there.
That's crazy.
And it would only work in, you know, certain ones that obviously had that fucking hardware in there.
Yep.
It's, man, the past is so much better. I read a really interesting fucking article about... the pipeline from nostalgia to fascism.
Oh,
and it made me so scared. Like, I've got a
PS1. It's I mean, literally, if you like, you know, do your deep dive on World War II and Germany, it's like, nostalgia was a huge factor.
It's the A in Magyar stands for again.
Yeah,
It's people looking back with rose tinted glasses. But I'm not gonna. I choose to ignore it when it comes to video games.
Yeah, you're gonna look through CRT tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy, you mentioned your little drill in Drill Dozer.
Yes.
If you've got a little drill of your own that you want to take care of.
Oh, boy. Now we're in second gear.
Manscaped can help you with that. Trim up your pubes and get down with Manscaped's fine, fine products. They're, of course, sponsoring us again.
Yeah.
They will be sponsoring us every week because they're beautiful, beautiful people.
And they see results.
That's right.
You guys are still getting on there and you're smashing that order button.
If you want to see results or the skin underneath your pubes, use the Lawnmower 4.0. It's one of the best, it's the best electric razor I've ever owned, actually. Unequivocally the best. It's waterproof.
It's Nick Free. So like you, Knox.
Mostly Nick Free. There was a chance and look, user error happens.
Yes.
We can't say you'll never do it, but it helps.
Up until now, you will just be named Adam. awesome products. They got the ear and nose hair trimmer as well, which I used just yesterday.
I used the Manscaped fucking shampoo when I washed my hair earlier today.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The stuff they make is good. Like it's I like that they are our sponsor because it's very easy to recommend them. It's nice to not feel guilty about advertising something.
Yes.
Because they are good.
The feeling of them, like it's not like sharp, cheap plastic. It's like smooth to touch. USB charger. It's just the only thing you need if you want to shave your pubic hair and or your beard, in my opinion.
It honestly works for all hair.
Yeah. Mm.
You can, I think they're selling themselves short by limiting themselves to the pubes.
Yeah, and to just mans.
Everyone in the world should use it for every hair they've ever had.
I agree. Speaking of everyone in the world, if you want to pretend that you're in different parts of the world.
Well, by the way, with Manscaped, code Filthy, you get 20% off and free shipping. And they're not just good, they're also a deal for if you do that.
Yeah.
Manscaped.com, use the code Filthy, 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah. That's right. And yeah, I think we mentioned it last week maybe, using the code helps us. So, you know, it helps both of us. It helps you.
It's win-win. I don't want to get too business speak.
Okay.
But this is it's all upside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Back to the segue.
NordVPN.
NordVPN. They're our other ongoing sponsor. NordVPN, the best VPN that exists, in my opinion. I used it before they were a sponsor, and I'll use it long after.
They get sick
wisely realized. No, it's a VPN is something that you need if you use the internet. It's not just for fun, you know, for hopping around viewing things in different countries.
It's not a toy. It's a tool.
It's
but
a tool.
It's a fun tool.
Yeah.
Like
a vibrator.
Sure.
It's a tool, but it's fun as well.
if
keeping it out in the tool shed. Just like midway through with your partner, like, oh, do you want to spice this up? I'll get the vibrator out. All right, I'll be 2 minutes. I just got to run out to the garage get it out.
I noticed your tool wall.
On the wall.
That's a big outline. What's that one for?
Why are the veins on the outline as well?
But yeah, it is. It's handy for giving you security while you browse the internet, hiding your identity from things like, you know, the government who shouldn't be seeing what you're doing.
Really easy to use on a bunch of different devices as well.
Yes.
And yeah, it's always been like reliable too. I remember like other VPN stuff I'd used before kind of using Nord. Like you can get sort of websites you go to that and they just don't fucking work or they're slow or it like drops it. And like NordVPN has worked pretty effortlessly for me the whole time I've used it.
Yeah.
And you can go to nordvpn.com/filthy.
Yeah.
And that's where you get your deal from us for that.
Big old discount, bunch of stuff there in that deal. It's like, a massive discount, some like 3 months, a little extra bonus thing. Reduces it to a ridiculously cheap price of like $2 something a month for a necessary service.
Exactly. One of those sort of utilities that you just sort of have. And nordvpn.com/filthy if you want a deal on a utility.
Yeah.
If you listen to us in China.
Yes.
That's how you'd be listening to us, I guess.
Yeah.
When I went to Shanghai, I had been told, hey, so obviously you can't use anything Google-based over here. I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah. And then I got there and just forgot that Gmail is a part of Google. And I was like, okay. And then I'm like...
Interesting wrinkle.
And then I'm trying to look
What's
up...
What's that first letter in G stand for again? Why won't this work?
And then it stood for good.
Good
it's
mail.
Good mail.
Mm. Got mail.
And then I had to just... And then I'm like in the hotel trying to Google like... I'm like, I guess I'm
You don't
Google.
Get it.
I was like, I guess I'd better get a VPN. And then I'm like, how do I? Because they're blocked. And then.
The dumbest man goes to China.
Yeah. I just had completely. And then.
Walking outside, being like, help anyone.
Well, luckily, I went to a cafe where their Wi-Fi had a VPN on it.
Oh, interesting.
I think they were like a cafe that was run by Australian people and was Australian themed.
Great.
And it was across the road from my hotel and someone had recommended it. I'm like, I'm not coming to China and then just going and eating at an Australian-themed cafe.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing as well, probably.
Well, it was right there, so I went in and then they were like, hey, you're probably locked out of all of your stuff that you want to do at home. Well, we've got a VPN on our internet. And that I was like, this is actually really handy.
That is something that I would seek out, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, how are they not shut down by the government?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess they got a VPN. They're hiding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The fish who keeps his mouth shut never gets caught.
Wow.
That's what I always say into myself in the mirror as I open my mouth yet again.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, I've been playing a game.
No.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck.
You know what I've been spending my time doing?
Playing video game.
Dude, it's a ridiculous waste of time. And I feel guilty about it, but it's what I've done. I played a bit of a game. I wanted to just
a recent release.
I played season fucking subtitle.
Of the Witch.
No. Way off. Journey. Oh, shit. I should look this up. The game is called Season. It's that one. There were a few sort of showcases where it popped up with you're riding a bike around.
Okay.
Getting I'm gonna look up the specific title here.
It's called Season and you ride a bike around.
Okay.
That's what
Again,
I know so far.
We're Season Phantom Trick.
Season,
a letter to the future.
Okay.
That is the full
I was just gonna Google Season Bike and see if that did anything. But I've got my VPN set to Shanghai, so I can't look it up.
So, Season, A Letter to the Future, it's on PS4, 5, and on the PC where I've been playing it. It is indie game. Kind of a, like, I suppose it's an adventure game.
Sure.
Or, like, if you were, you know, if it fits into the...
Do you want to hear IGN's mouthful of a summary of what it is?
I'm about to give my own mouthful of a summary, so I would love to have a comparison point.
Season is a third-person atmospheric adventure bicycle road trip game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Firewatchy type of walking simulatory type of thing.
Okay.
Where there's not really pressure on you at any point during this. The point of the game is to... You're in like this kind of fantasy world that is very kind of... It's not apocalyptic, but like you as you travel through this thing of learning about how a season in this kind of is more like an era,
okay,
rather than like a weathery thing. The world kind of ends and starts and changes, and a war might be a season, and you're going out and exploring, kind of like a uni gap year, like that you've never been out of your weird little town,
right?
And finding out about this world and journaling as you do that. Like the game is sort of seen from the perspective of someone reading your finished journal,
okay,
and then goes back to you making that journal. And it's pretty freeform in the way you do it. Like you're in an area and you can take photos and record audio and find trinkets and then you scrapbook with those.
Okay.
To like varying levels of interest, I am not clicking with it because I'm finding it irritating. Like the tone of it is very yoga teacher type of
a
just like...
A little too earnest.
It's so like... Let's just take a moment and really soak in this energy.
Okay.
Like it's saying
a
stuff
little,
like that all the time.
Right, like a little condescending almost or something.
It doesn't feel like really pretentious or condescending or anything because it means it and it's trying to be positive and it's like enjoying itself.
Mm. It sounds like it's been made by the makers of a meditation app that I use from time to time where it's like the voiceover will be like very like, just very that tone.
Mm.
Give yourself a moment to just relax and feel the breath.
And it's not that the person doing it is being fake, which can be a style of that is annoying.
No, yeah, maybe condescending is not the right word, but like, or like patronizing.
It's
but
grating
it's like
is all it is.
Yeah, right.
It's like if you're not in the mood for it,
right.
It just is.
It's just annoying.
Too different, yeah, of a, and it like, so you, yeah, you're, it's kind of around memories and like you start the game at your like leaving before going on your adventure and your mum is like sacrificing some memories to try and keep you safe, but like just the descriptions and the tone of everything is so like sincere and earnest and heartfelt and like I guess poetic and not in like a like too exciting of a way, just in like a just serious, boring people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's definitely something that I don't think will be bothersome to people across the board, but it's a tone that I just don't connect with at all.
Mm.
Right.
So I'm not like, I don't think it's badly done. It's just a color I don't like.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
What is an example of a color that you don't like?
Green.
Really?
There's too much of it.
Huh.
Really? You know, if you're ever in the forest, it's just like, this is fucking green.
I
everywhere.
Love that, yeah, though. I find it very relaxing.
Green's nature. It's yep. Ninja Turtles. It's Kermy. You don't yeah. like Kermy?
For Ninja Turtles to be second only to nature.
I know.
I suppose I mean, red because it frightens me.
Red's an angry
danger.
Red was my favorite color growing up, but it is an angry color.
And that's kind of the point, is that a color can be different depending on the mood you're in, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the thing, is I think if I played, like I haven't finished it, and it's not particularly of a long game, but I think if I was in a different mood, and a similar thing happened to me with Firewatch, which you guys both liked a lot, but I just wasn't clicking with in it. And those types of games are so only the mood and the atmosphere. And this one certainly is that like if you're just not feeling it, then you're not feeling it.
Mm-hmm. There is that sort of style of game that Firewatch is in, and it sounds like this is in, that is like it's great that it exists, and it's, you know, they're well made, but there just is this weird sort of like genre of very earnest kind of, that tone of game that's really only existed in the last 6 or 7 years and is so far removed from any other type of game. Just not feeling gamey at all.
Right.
Feeling more like you've got this.
And it does.
Yeah, this
like,
weird kind of PBS kids show voiceover stuff happening.
I don't mind what you're doing in it. Like, the point is to go around and, like, at your own pace. Like, you just need a certain number of these, like, mementos to fill up a part of your book.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going back and forth and doing them. So you're not, like, you're pretty free to just go and explore. And you'll see a goat and you go take a photo of a goat. And then she'll have Ooh. Something to say about the goat. And you're okay. like, oh, nice, okay, a goat.
Right.
And, like, the ideas that are there and even the way it's being done is like kind of cool, and like riding your bike around feels nice,
mm-hmm.
and the environment and like the world is weird and interesting looking enough, and like weird as in like the setting is mysterious and like learning some stuff about it is satisfying. Yeah, there's just something about the mood that the game is in that doesn't fit with the mood that I tend to be in when I am playing a game or will ever be. Like it's just unrelatable to me. The type of tone is just not relatable to me, so I don't connect with it.
Right, and then I think there's also like an element of like this can be such a frustrating perspective. But like I had an ex-girlfriend who I would be like, oh, I'm playing this game where you walk through a forest and, you know, you're looking for this and that, and then be like, why don't you just go outside and go for a walk through a forest, you know, like where I often don't agree that is a fair criticism of a game, but this game, it sounds like it would be more fun for me to go and ride my bike through the countryside.
The way that the game has constructed, it's like, The discovery of the world is the most interesting thing. So I don't mind that part of it. It's just that the things that you discover have just a bit annoying as well. Do you know what I mean? So
I think
the actual game part of it, I know what you mean, but like I think it's kind of well made in its like mechanical way. It's getting you to explore and stuff.
It looks nice. Yeah, right. The art style and everything looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think I'd like a lot of other people will like it more than I did. But
I did see a review that described it as vacuous, which is possibly tonal thing that you're getting at. Yeah.
I don't want to be mean about it because it's a taste thing, but I think the game thinks it's so much smarter than it is.
Right. Yeah,
and
right.
And that's also always feels like such a... Like, by saying that, it means that I think I'm smarter than the game, which...
you're assuming that's what it is.
I can't separate the style of... speak. If someone tells me to pause and have a moment of gratitude, I will flip out and fly a blimp into the ground.
Okay.
I will like Hindenburg
a backflip into a flying blimp.
I'll
take over the controls.
Wile E. Coyote explode. Because like it's just it really bothers me.
Yeah.
And I would have to do a lot of expensive digging to find out why.
I was listening to this podcast. It's just like about future sort of stuff and tech. And like there's an interview with a social media expert.
Right.
Who apparently got into like a lot of trouble for tweeting like, like something about disliking the tone of people who are like, here's a puppy to brighten up your news feed, self-care moment. It's like that thing of like, oh, I don't need you to tell me how I should be feeling.
And it can feel really dismissive and like and papering glib. Over things. Like it does, it has that feeling of coming to me from such a privileged position of like, I'm glad that you're capable of pausing for a moment and feeling gratitude.
Right.
That mechanically doesn't fucking work for me.
Yep.
And it's annoying that you think that is the solution that I am missing.
Mm.
Right.
Like, how fucking idiotic do you think that I am that you think I missed that fucking trick?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you didn't try cheering up?
And I don't think the game is trying to make me feel that way. Like,
no,
I don't...
It seems to, like, have a lot of crossover with that. That kind of
it's just like this and stuff. And not like that's all of it, and like the, but like okay, so that when you leave your thing, there's like your dad has died in earlier, and but you hear
in
like
a big blimp crash
advice that he gave you of like when you leave, so you have like this little village and they've thrown you a party and they've written wishes for your future on some ribbons that they've hung from a tree.
I hate this village and everyone in it.
You leave the village. Well, when you go through, there's nobody even in it, and maybe there's a mystery there.
Maybe
you,
I killed them
and
all.
So that's the thing. There's some interesting stuff of like, what's going on in this world? And there's weird kind of lore here. But then you go out of the village and he's like, before you take your first step, lie down with your back to the dirt and feel your ancestors. They're all contained within that ground, and the future ones are there too. Now, close your eyes. You can feel them. Stand back up. You still feel them, don't you? Go out and learn something and bring it back to them so you'll have a story to tell. And
this,
it's like,
this really
fucking
does...
fuck off.
This
sorry
really
to
does
shout, but
feel
fuck
like
off.
If you meditate using an app and you like that, you won't be bothered by this.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's just what all that
it'll
stuff
probably
is.
Calm you down.
I made myself actually angry.
Yeah.
That like, I was joking when I shouted, but also it was a real emotion. Because like... fuck off.
Mm.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
But the game's pretty good. 7 out of 10.
Sick.
I hope that makes sense to people and it's not like annoying. Like
I don't think it makes sense, but it'll be funny. No, I will. I know exactly what you mean. I played a couple of games. Oh, actually, I played a couple of game demos.
Okay.
Okay.
Which were actually pretty relaxing. I played one called Fableton. Or Fabletown, Fableton, I think.
Yeah.
And I play one called Plan B, Terraform, I think. Both city building games.
Nice. Okay.
And both...
This cunt loves to build a city.
I do.
Yeah.
I wish I could build a city, honestly.
It
It'd be really fun.
Sounds really hard, though.
They're both, pretty chill games. Both indie games, as far as I can tell. I think that's what the Next Fest is, the Steam Next Fest.
Yeah.
I think I prefer Plan B of the two, but Fableton is like classic fantasy setting. And it's very similar mechanics to Against the Storm, which I played last week.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, you start off with like very limited scope of what you can build, but you've got like a few villages. So you build one thing and you assign them to a building. So that, you can build like a lumber, or no, it's like a labor camp. Something.
Okay.
No.
I'm getting the idea of the sort of city you're looking to build. I understand now.
It's like a laborer's hut.
Well, I have like different sections for.
First, you build a high barbed wire fence. No, yeah, it's like a laborer's tent, and then that's like your builder's sort of hut. And it's like, okay, you assign a villager to that. They'll be the one to build the next thing, and the next thing you build a farm. But it's a little bit more homely and personal than Against the Storm. It's like, oh, build a fun little road to connect all your villagers' houses.
Mm.
It really is like a nice, wholesome version of Against the Storm, where it's like, just hang out and build stuff up and assign villagers to that.
Yeah.
Finish a little challenge, get some more villagers. So that is literally the gameplay mechanics of Against the Storm. So maybe this is something that there was a bigger game a couple of years ago that everyone's starting to, take inspiration from.
They definitely seem to be having a moment, this style of thing. I don't quite know why either.
Mm. Yeah. Plan B, Terraform, I liked a little bit more, where it was like a procedurally generated planet.
Yeah.
And you like zoom in and out and you've got the whole goddamn globe of it. And there'll be some preset like little cities, little settlements, and it's all like hexes.
Yeah.
And each hex, yeah, you can place one thing, whether it's like a little harvester, like in Dune, like a spice harvester, but it's for whatever resources on that hex.
Yeah.
And then next to it, sort of Factorio style, next to it you build like a little depot. So it's like, well, these minerals go to that depot. Next to the depot you build a factory. Factory processes those minerals into like steel bars. Next to that is another depot that moves steel bars. And next to that's like an assembly plant that uses steel bars to build more factories or something.
And then at some point someone asks, why are we building more factories to build more steel, to build more factories? And then they kick them off the planet.
Yeah. What you're doing that, and that's like the start of the tutorial of the demo, I guess, is like you do that sort of sequence.
Yeah.
And then it goes, hey, remember how there's like cities dotted around the planet? Well, you want to connect those cities to these resources. So you got to learn how to build roads. You got to learn how to build trucks that go on the roads. And then the cities can grow by delivering resources to them. So it is, that's sort of the gameplay loop. And you're,
okay,
like with all those sort of like city builders or real-time strategy games, it's always giving you like, build 5 factories. You know, and after that, it's, you know, expand your city's population to 10.
Yeah.
So at least initially you're getting given all of those benchmarks to hit. And then it seems like it's less like, oh, now you play a campaign, but it's like now you do a procedurally generated world of your own and try and, you know, cover it in buildings and factories and fucking roads and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really fun. The game, the visual style is very sort of cel-shaded. It's a little, not cartoony, but sort of simplistic.
Okay.
Ran great, like really smooth. Zooming in and out of the whole planet was really smooth. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
I started typing in to see this visual style of Plan B Terraform.
Mm.
I typed in Plan B. I couldn't remember the subtitle and was genuinely close. Is it Plan B Chemist Warehouse? And then realized what that is.
Plan B side effects. Well, for me, I had a good time. So
Plan B Terraform. Yeah, this looks nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. There's so many demos up on this Next Fest thing. I just went by what looked cool in the little mouse over preview.
Cool.
And this one was one, yeah, that definitely jumped out.
This sort of, yeah, like city builder space is crowded feeling at the moment, especially with early access stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of them around.
But I can say if this is one of the ones that jumped out to you visually, that, yeah, gameplay-wise, it's sick. I really like it.
Nice.
And you know what else I really liked gameplay-wise?
Oh, yes.
It is... we talk about remakes and re-releases earlier,
mm-hmm.
and we are in the era of them. Dead Space.
Yeah, there's fucking 60 segues to tie this one in. There's a reason for us to talk about
also,
it.
Also, it's in space, and yeah.
Dead is dead like my heart that I can't accept poetry in a season.
Dead like minerals are just dead animals that have been compressed for millennia. Yeah, Dead Space. Never played the originals. Did not play the Callisto Protocol because... it had some shitty early reviews come out.
Yeah. Including from me.
Yes. Yeah. But this, if you haven't played it, it's Resident Evil in space.
Yeah.
Boom. That's it. It's, for me, pretty much just as good. Like, I'm loving the style. I think the writing is quite good as well for, you know, all it needs to be. It's very...
relatively simple. Like,
you get
cut
off.
Now this is broken. Yeah. Oh, no, now this is broken.
Totally.
We need to get out of here, but now this is broken.
Very similar to Resident Evil 2, where you kind of, like, have your mate in the initial lobby who's like, oh, well, if you go get this, then maybe that can open this and we can do this.
Yeah.
So you've got, yeah, you're cut off from your crewmates after trying to dock with this massive, like, freighter, this mining ship.
You're like a maintenance guy.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. You're an engineer. You're initially trying to meet up with your wife or girlfriend, right? Who's on the ship. Stuff goes haywire.
Okay.
Turns out there's some bloody monsters there.
Big ugly fucks.
Away you go. You've got to try and, yeah. It's very, yeah, Metroidvania, Resident Evil sort of style. The combat is interesting and I think great. Mm. It's not just like shoot zombies in the head. It is cut off their limbs and then once they're straggling around on the ground, basically cut off their head.
Yeah, they have it. The remake, so I haven't played the remake, but I played the original 2 or 3 years ago,
yep,
and remember it pretty well. And yeah, it's like your main weapon is this cutter, like a plasma cutter, and all your stuff is sort of like maintenance guy theme.
Yeah,
like there's a reason for you to have this cutter because it would normally be used for like welding or whatever.
Yeah,
and you have it either vertical or horizontal, and use it to like these big zombie monster enemy things have like quite spindly limbs that you can slice either vertically or horizontally, and it is like weirdly for what sounds like a relatively meaningless change to just shooting at a thing, like what is the difference on the surface, it does feel pretty different.
It totally
and
does,
and it's very satisfying.
It's not, it's like if you were someone who isn't good at like popping headshots and zombies and stuff, this is a totally different kind of tense but interesting combat style. I like it a lot.
I remember enjoying it because like they're running at you and you can stop them from running by cutting their legs off.
Yeah,
which really like the fact that you have a solution for this scary thing happening creates a really effective tension.
Yes. Which aside from that, like atmospherically it is scary. You know, it is very well done. The like it's a bit of a cheat, but like sometimes the lights will go out and you can only see by torchlight and there's things running at you and everything's covered in blood. Like
it's certainly like I guess on the schlockier end of what horror is. It's not like super in your head, it's more like I'm coming to get you,
I'm coming to get you, and there's like scary stuff painted on the walls in blood, but it works. Mm-hmm. It has very scary music. The setups, the set pieces are all really fun and creative. It really is doing like a, oh shit, what if you were trapped in space and everything went wrong? Mm. Like it's doing it well. It's scary. And I find, the Metroidvania stuff, because you'll like go back with security clearance you didn't have and unlock stuff.
Resident Evil style again, right?
It's like, fully,
I got the Raven key.
Right.
It's always satisfying. There's a reason why people, you know, they Metroidvanias are a dime a dozen,
right?
And people still latch onto them. It's that dopamine hit of like, that fucking, hang on, this blue key, that door I couldn't get in was blue.
Yeah.
Fuck you!
And the Resident Evil thing of like, hey, if you can be bothered to like maybe shoot a few extra zombies and go down this hallway that you don't have to, here's a little upgrade.
Yeah.
Here's a cool little thing that you wouldn't have had before. So I'm finding that's applicable in this game as well.
Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
And then the remake aspect is like all of the... There used to be, I think, a lot of tram traversal, which is like loading screens essentially, you know, like this area. Oh, you've got to go from medical to engineering. So you've got to get here, go down an elevator and jump in this, and then there's a loading screen. It's all fluid. There's no, like, there are elevators,
right?
But there is no like stop, load, here you are in the next area. It's all fluid.
I think that was I think it was kind of doing the same thing. I think it would do the thing of showing you like a map of the ship while it was loading and sort of where you're going to. But it did have, I very much remember similar looking train platforms in these different areas that you would be kind of going between, that did it lost a little bit of the sense of where you were on the ship weirdly by showing you like a map. That's my memory of it,
because they do there is a tram still and you do see that map and that sort of linearity, but then it's like you're just choosing the station and then it goes, you're like still standing there and running, walking around and shit. Like I think it just doesn't have loading screens.
I think that must be the difference, right? Because I think that's the same, but like it looks like that type of remake where it is the same game with better visuals
And more quality of life stuff, but not changing like the gameplay.
I think I've seen that they've like added some sort of side questy type things being given to you by some characters and stuff too.
And they've made your character talk more, which I saw someone
he was posting.
He was pretty much mute and he talked more in the second game. That's so they've just brought it up to speed with that a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
Is what I read.
It was a great game, like playing it a few years ago, that original version. So like having a remake of it makes sense.
I'm loving it. I'm happy that I played those Resident Evil games to get me into this style of game. And it is, I think it's a bit scarier, honestly. Like it's, and I think it is trying to be in that sort of jump scary sort of horror movie way.
Totally. It's that like, whatever you call those fluorescent tube lights going ding, 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 it's that type of horror.
It is aliens, mutated aliens with like their mouths on their stomachs jumping out of holes in the wall. But it works though. Yeah. It's scary. It's fun. The exploration and the, not really puzzle solving, but just more like, Metroidvania-y, getting this to unlock this to do this.
There's a couple of like, these crates need to be somewhere else or whatever type of things from memory.
Oh, yeah, because, you have a sort of like a telekinesis ability to move stuff around.
Yeah, like a gravity gun.
Gravity gun sort of thing. And some other power? I forget. Stasis. You have stasis and you have moving stuff. Right, so there's very minor like physical puzzle solving, but mostly it's just Resident Evil in space, and it's pretty much as good as Resident Evil.
Cool. I mean, it sounds same as when it came out, so I played it at the wrong time.
You really did.
But like, so I don't think, but for all the footage of the remake looks like a modern game, it looks great.
And I surely they do now what Capcom have done and they remake and remaster 2 and 3.
I'd be interested to see, because I didn't like 2 as much as 1. Some people like it more. It's more, it kind of goes a bit more action-y than 1 does, and is like a little more, it's like the era when Gears of War was massive and stuff, so it kind of goes a bit that way. I didn't like 2 quite as much, and then haven't played 3, but people really seem to not like 3.
Oh, okay.
Possibly in a way that I think is maybe they would soften on it if they were to play it. And it were, when that anger cycle and people are like, fuck you for telling me to lie on the ground. When people get unnecessarily angry like that, they stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so yeah, I wonder if they do that or if like this leads to them doing a new one or what it would be.
I would like a new one, you know, like if this is, it's doing well from what I can tell and it is good. So yeah, go straight to Dead Space 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see if you like choose to go and play 2 and 3 now after this one, like how they seem.
Well, if there's going to be a remake of 2, I'd rather wait.
The fact that on Steam they gave people 2 for free bought 1 doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I guess that sort of suggests to me they wouldn't do a remake of 2 if they wanted, they wouldn't really want you to go and play that one.
No, that's true.
If they're going to remake it.
That's true, yeah.
Who knows?
So, yeah, we also got some opinions from our patrons, our beautiful, wonderful patrons. Craig here says the remake has done a fantastic job of keeping what was great in the original, but while making it play a bit more like Dead Space 2. Interesting. Because, Nox was saying the original was a bit less action-focused than Dead Space 2. And this remake, I don't know, for me it felt like a good balance. Tony reckons Dead Space might be one of the best remakes ever made. But says the military guy Hammond seems a bit more bland than he was in the original. He prefers how heavy Isaac felt in 2008. It's fair enough. It still feels like you lumber around a little bit more than the normal protagonist, but that is, maybe a negative change for Tony there. Shabab says, this really feels like what a worthwhile remake is supposed to. Ryan loves it. This is the best way to play Dead Space, one of his all-time favorite games. But all pretty much positive. Not just graphics and textures, but story points and new endings. Fantastic work, Motive Studios. That was from Juan. pretty general positive reactions and hype for this really sick game. Yeah, I recommend it.
Cool. A lot of good games to dive into for the next week.
Hell yeah.
We'll be back with some, I guess, Metroid Prime thoughts.
Yeah.
And some other stuff next week. Filthycasuals.com.au if you want to get around all the other stuff that we do. We got the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week and support the show. Very much appreciated by us. We got the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Hundreds of videos on there.
Whipping through LA Noir now.
Yep. Go check out all that stuff. Clicker, I Barely Know Her, our podcast about The Last of Us.
It's a funny
HBO
title.
HBO TV show. And it's a great show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Hey, let's take a moment of gratitude here to really just calm down because you're being crazy. You're completely crazy. Why don't you calm down? That's how it feels. I hate it.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.